Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Many of our founding fathers in the Second Continental Congress were concerned that the new Constitution gave the federal government too much power and did not provide enough protection to the citizens. Today we see increased attacks upon those protections that were voted upon and approved, and we see school students who either are not taught about the Bill of Rights or being taught a PC version of them. My guest today is Karis Coker. She's the co-chair of the Bill of Rights Bicentennial Committee. Thanks, Karis, for being with us.
Oh, I'm glad to be here, Diane. Thank you for having me.
Of course, you've not been around for the 200 years. I mean,
Well, it depends if you ask my grandkids.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm quite the antique.
I think you're quite the antique. Wow. But wasn't it in the 200th year that this all began, though, as far as the committee and your... Give us some of the background as to why you're interested in the Bill of Rights and what's happened.
Well, I can't imagine an American who's not interested in the Bill of Rights, and if they were interested, it wouldn't take too much inquiry to be also concerned.
Right.
So that's where we were in 1991 when the Bill of Rights Bicentennial was rolling around. And it was in my husband and I saw an advertisement or heard an advertisement for this grand display that was going to be at Dover Air Force Base. And it was Philip Norris Company was hauling their trailer around the country. So we made grand plans, loaded up all the children, and went down to see it. And we were so excited, having been interested in American issues from the time that we were married. So we go in delighted and thrilled, and we came out devastated and concerned and, frankly, very disturbed by what we saw in this display commemorating the Bill of Rights Bicentennial that had an example of, it was a very high-tech production, and you walked through these trailers in various rooms and around and about and looped through, and you were bombarded with sight and sound, flashing screens, people trampling the flag underfoot.
I guess that was the First Amendment right. I guess that was why
it was supposed to be First Amendment.
Yeah.
And for freedom of religion, they had every exotic kind of thing you can think of, including snake handling churches. I mean, it was it was horrible.
Yeah. Truly the PC version.
Truly the PC version, including the room where they had all of the persons who were these firm advocates for the Bill of Rights. Not too much about the history of it, but the 20th century distortion of it, from Clarence Darrow, he was the kingpin, and on down to others, including the woman who obtained the first right for women to have abortion, the female lawyer who had been an advocate for that. So this was the kind of thing it was. And Eric and I were just aghast that, is this the way the United States is going to celebrate the Bill of Rights Bicentennial?
And just think of all the ones who attended that program,
yes,
you know, did not know the history of the Bill of Rights and who were impacted, negatively impacted by, and without even knowing that they were negatively impacted.
Right.
They went away with a distorted view of the Bill of Rights.
That's a major point that, frankly, I knew that it went out there. I never thought of the impact of it, which creates... fed into the situation that we have now 24 years later.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and it's only gotten worse because as schools have become more politically correct, you know, we see them teaching the distorted version, the revised version of history, so that, you know, they're doing the same thing with the Bill of Rights.
Oh, absolutely they are. Absolutely they are.
And even from it's even coming from the White House as far as, you know, President Obama, who is distorting the First Amendment when it comes to the freedom of religion. Now he's saying it's the freedom of worship.
But just like from global warming, which proved to be a farce, to climate change. Well, there's climate change every day.
Absolutely.
You know, every morning and night there's climate change.
Absolutely there is.
So,
Well,
in consequence of that, I went to visit the park superintendent at Independence Park to see what they were going to do, commemoration of the upcoming, a year from then, Bill of Rights Bicentennial. They had a copy on display. This was February of 1991. And they had no plans for anything besides that. And my idea of a national day of thanksgiving for the blessings of civil and religious freedom didn't fly too well.
You surely didn't say that.
I did.
Oh, good for you.
But they did put together programming on the different amendments, and they had a rewriting of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights from all 50 states, the governor, a public school teacher, and a student. And it was transported by UPS and American Airlines to all 50 states and then brought back to Independence Park. It was supposed to be signed there. The plans were for it to go to Washington to have the Senate, the House, the judges, and everybody sign this handwritten copy on the bicentennial of the Bill of Rights, of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Well, comes the day of the bicentennial, and, of course, we're down there at 7 o'clock in the morning. It was announced that the doors would be open. And we were the first ones to sign, besides the park employees.
Okay, well, good.
The public was invited to come and sign the Bill of Rights that was there then.
Right.
But, oh, Diane, that afternoon we saw in their it was a Sunday morning, and we did that, and then we went to church. And the program for that afternoon, the honored guests were to be the leading actors in a summer-long production of Inherit the Wind,
which
had been playing in Philadelphia that summer. What in earth do the actors from Inherit the Wind have to do with the Bill of Rights except to slap this idea that we are endowed with our rights by a creator? It was a gross offense to God. So that was devastating, again, from the Philip Norris display and what they did, and then the Independence Park and what they did. And then after that, I had a conversation with, it was Kathy DiLeonardo, was the gal at Independence Park. She was not superintendent, but she was in charge of the events there, and she was the one who, it was her job to put that program together.
Right.
She personally told me that when President Bush was going to be in town, she thought, this is a great opportunity for him to sign this document before we put it in the archives. The president, she said they refused. His legal advisors told him that anything he signed would be considered law.
But the Bill of Rights is already law.
Supposed to be. I mean, and she was having a hard time herself wrapping her head around
that. Right, right.
So that was when we decided to host an annual event on the anniversary of the Bill of Rights.
And tell the truth about the Bill of Rights and its history.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting that you brought that up with when you spoke to the government entity.
In Philadelphia.
And you just the idea of you bringing up the religious aspect. But I found that, I think it was a week after the Bill of Rights was approved. Of course, the Bill of Rights is the first 10 amendments of the Constitution that President Washington.
Okay, it was not just the week after. It was the very next item of business.
Okay.
It was introduced. The congressional resolution requesting President Washington to proclaim a national day of thanksgiving was introduced by Elias Boudinot. It was the next item of business after they wrapped up the 12 proposed amendments and sent them to the states for ratification.
Wow, it was the very next item.
It was the consequence of it, yes. And when you read the language of it, it has to do with about peaceably settling the government and securing liberty, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. Yeah. Just imagine, you know, now with the shooting in San Bernardino, we have some politicians who are totally upset that people are calling for prayer for the victims' families, and there's pushback. And then we wonder why this country's in the situation it's in. Well, we have politicians who are pushing back against those who are saying we need to pray for the victims' families and such for the whole situation. And then we have President, well, in the Continental Congress, the day after they ratified the Bill of Rights, they're asking President Washington to proclaim a national day of thanksgiving and prayer.
Specifically because and connected to the Bill of Rights.
Yeah, exactly.
It really is a wonderful thing to know these particulars in our history, and it shows such the lie to the present way of looking at things.
Especially the First Amendment, how it's been distorted. They pulled that phrase out of a letter that Thomas Jefferson sent to the Danbury Baptist Church, Wallace Separation of Church and State, where they basically made that the First Amendment. You know, and people who don't know what it says, they think that's actually in the Constitution.
You know, it's Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion.
Right.
Back in the 70s, remember the term anti-disestablishmentarian?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
that was a real term. You can look it up in Oxford Dictionary, okay. Because first you had the establishmentarians, all right, the ones who officially established a state church, whether it was Presbyterianism in Scotland, Catholicism in Spain or France, or Anglican Church in England.
Right.
Those were the establishmentarians. There was an old term from the 1600s called disestablishmentarian, and that was for those people who wanted freedom to worship outside the state-appointed church. Okay, and so the anti-disestablishmentarians were the people who wanted to keep the establishment. But anyway, all of that goes into what's embodied in that word, prohibiting Congress from establishing a state church.
Oh, wow.
Respecting, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. In other words, there was not to be an official state church, but it was never. You can tell by their own practices, their own customs, even in Congress itself, their own laws that they passed.
Right.
Purchasing Bibles, the Aiken Bible, for distribution throughout the colonies.
Yeah.
It is a gross distortion and a malicious redefining of...
Right, it's a malicious attack upon the country, because people who don't know, kids who go to public school don't know what the real history of this country is, and they are growing up and becoming leaders of the nation, and we see where that's gotten us so far, as the public school system has been co-opted by radicals, secular humanists, and we see where we're headed just in the last, 30, 40 years?
But the co-opting of the public schools is a result of the co-opting of the hippies who cut their hair and shaved their beards and put on a three-piece suit and ran for public office and now are promoting the same agenda that they did as radicals on the college campuses.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on that.
So.
And, you know, they're in control of the government, they're in control of, you know, what you talked about happened in 91-92 with the federal government when you were trying to get them to put on an appropriate Bill of Rights commemorative program and their refusal to do that. I mean, they would not, there's no way that you're going to get anything anywhere near, bad enough back in 91-92, but just look at 2015, totally been distorted, as we see, especially attacks on the First Amendment and Second Amendment, and we saw the Kelo decision was pretty much destroyed that latter part of the Fifth Amendment when it came to property rights. And,
well, let's take the very immediate issue and with the things that have unfolded in San Bernardino.
Okay.
And I was checking out what I'd heard that Attorney General Loretta Lynch had said that anyone who spoke ill of the Muslim faith would be subject to charges of a hate crime.
Right.
And I thought, you know, how can this be? Well, I found a link to the CNN footage, but it keeps dying at like 8 minutes.
Okay.
So I can't get into her remarks. I was wanting to check it out myself. However, this organization that she was speaking before, Muslim Advocacy for Liberty, Justice, and Equality for All, was formed 10 years ago as Bill of Rights Advocates. And, you know, Patrick Henry...
You're serious?
I am serious.
Oh, my goodness. They don't know what the Bill of Rights is. I mean, they don't know.
No, they do. They're subverting it.
Right, exactly. To the way they're interpreted under Sharia law.
Well, Patrick Henry warned. In fact, the Virginia Declaration of Rights, which was done by and large by George Mason.
Right.
But it was recorded in that time that the 16th article of the Virginia Declaration of Rights was in Patrick Henry's own handwriting, and it had to do with freedom of religion.
Uh-huh.
And he, in his handwriting, it was the wording was of changed and adjusted and, you know, refined.
Right.
And this part, but he said, unless under color of freedom of religion, the overthrow of the government is sought. That's very key.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Wow.
In other words, freedom of religion is extended, but it is not to be allowed to serve as a cover for seeking the destruction of the country.
Right, for ulterior motives. And
right.
You see that more and more with CAR and with other Muslim organizations, how they have learned to use our rights and our laws.
Well,
to
Southern Poverty Law Center and the ACLU have been doing that for a long time.
That's quite true. They've taken lessons. Yeah, that's quite true.
Yes.
That is very, very true. And we see attacks. Freedom for Religion Foundation and the ACLU, I mean, and the Muslims have learned how to use those same type tactics. But it's interesting. Basically, what Attorney General Loretta Lynch said, that if your speech is, you say bad things about Muslims or about the Islamic faith, then to where it would be construed as possibly leading up to violence, then you could be charged, basically, with, I'm not sure with what, but I'm sure they figure something out.
Well, I do want to go back and try to listen to that. I don't know if there are just so many people trying to listen to it right now. I can't handle the traffic.
Yeah.
Which, if that's so, I hope that people are paying attention.
I hope so.
To what's going on.
I mean, we see our First Amendment rights, freedom of speech, we see that being taken away from us as we see attacks on those with deeply held religious beliefs, and where those who are out to undermine the nation are, they're given that freedom to say whatever they want to say, and it's not construed as being hateful or bigoted, but you have someone speaking, what they're saying is based on scripture, then that's immediately deemed hateful.
You know, Diane, it's the First Amendment is the one you come to first in the list, and there are so many egregious violations of the First Amendment that it usually occupies most of the attention. But there are, every one of our amendments in the Bill of Rights is being undermined.
That's true.
And violated. I think of the matter of not being compelled to be a witness against yourself.
Yeah.
Even recently, there was, well, within the last 5 years, they changed the law to where they can force a husband or wife to testify against the other.
Oh,
the
really?
The position of the court before had always been the two shall be one.
Right.
And you could not, in court, put under oath and require and hold accountable a husband or a wife to provide testimony
against the other.
Against the other.
Wow.
They've done away with that.
But see, that's a biblical concept. You know, that's just another attack on scripture.
Right.
So, and also the Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment says the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable search and seizure shall not be violated.
Well, the IRS has violated that from the get-go.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right on that. Absolutely right on that.
And I just recently learned through a friend in Virginia that there has been a Supreme Court decision that rules you have no right to a trial by jury in any situation where you are not subject to more than 6 months in prison.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, these are little things that they do, and then they lay hold of them when it's convenient.
Exactly. In the meantime, nothing's said about it, or next to nothing. There may be a little blurb on the back page, and then no one really knows it's happened until, like you said, it's convenient for them to use it and say, oh, guess what? The Supreme Court did on whatever they did.
Right.
It's just tragic.
Well, when Eric and I decided to begin hosting a banquet, a commemorative banquet on Bill of Rights Day, our first one was 1992. But it was for the purpose of, and our byline has been, endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights.
Whoa, that's radical.
Radical as our
founding fathers, yes.
And it is our hope to have a public thanksgiving and acknowledgement of the Creator as the author of liberty, because if we do not acknowledge God to be the author of our liberty, there's no way on earth that we're going to have any hope of retaining
them. That's quite true.
And the circumstance is such that we're very far down the road as far as it being merely words on paper.
Yeah, quite true. And as we see Americans not reading their Constitution, not reading the Bill of Rights, and not even knowing why the Bill of Rights even exists, which is to put some handcuffs or control over the federal government.
Right.
You know, people do not understand that. They don't realize they're even losing their rights until one day they're going to wake up and we're not going to live in we don't live in an America that we used to live in. And you and I both can remember when we had more freedoms. But kids who are growing up right now, they don't know those freedoms that have been lost. By and large, they don't. I know your kids do. But they don't understand how far down the road we've come. It's just tragic when we think about the future of the country. But
well, it's someone said we now have a generation of parents who themselves are the product of the inadequacies of the public education system, and they're not qualified to determine whether or not their children are getting an adequate education. And there is such a, not just a lack of knowledge, but what concerns me is there's a lack of interest.
Yeah, people are just too busy with their own lives, and they're thinking that everything will be the way it always has been, and nothing's going to change as far as their lives, not realizing that we're on the
cusp.
Absolutely.
It's been a change, and it's not for good.
That's quite for sure. So you guys are planning another banquet on December 15th, which is the 224th anniversary of the ratification of the Bill of Rights.
Ratification, and that was the day that Virginia voted on those 10 amendments that they ratified them, and that met the quota for the number of states necessary to have adopted various amendments. Other states had adopted them beforehand, but Virginia met the quota, and so then, just sort of as a little side note, in the middle of much conversation about other things, Thomas Jefferson, as Secretary of State, in the spring of 1992, in a letter to the governors of the various
1792.
States. 1792.
Yeah, 17.
Did I say 1992?
Yes, you did.
1792. He included the amendments that were adopted and were now part of the Constitution and were in effect.
Yeah.
So, and you know, back in 1941, the 150th anniversary, the sesquicentennial, that was right at the opening and all the turmoil that opening of World War II.
Pearl Harbor. Yeah.
And there
the
had
week after Pearl Harbor.
Well, that's right. But there had been in Congress that summer earlier that year, there were preparations and resolutions passed, and even proclamations issued by President Roosevelt for that to be a day grandly celebrated and noted, et cetera, et cetera. That would have been December the 15th, 1941.
Uh-huh.
However, as you noted, Pearl Harbor was bombed on December the 7th, and that immediately set all other things aside.
Everything was the center of attention.
So, and now we have the Bill of Rights proclamation by our president annually, and this has been this way for several years, is wrapped in with the UN Human Rights Proclamation and all sorts of watering down, distorted nonsense. But we need to stand by the first 10. And you know, Diane, some people think that it's a choice of either the Bill of Rights or the Ten Commandments. And there is no such contradiction.
No.
Because really the Bill of Rights is the civil embodiment of the precepts in the Ten Commandments of respect for your neighbor's property, for his life, for his liberty, for his well-being.
Right.
And it was the Ten Commandments that gave birth to the precepts that are in.
I've never heard of that.
Well, I'll tell you where it goes back to. I first heard it, and it has been then after that. Oh, I wish I could remember that scoundrel's name. He was the Attorney General of Alabama when Judge Roy Moore posted the Ten Commandments in his office and then was removed. The guy who was Attorney General appeared with Judge Roy Moore at the first big gathering, public gathering, in support of him.
Uh-huh.
And he stood on the podium, and I have three friends who were there who all told me this. I wasn't able to go.
Uh-huh.
He stood there, and he says, "I'm standing with Judge Roy Moore. We stand with the Ten Commandments. We don't worry about the Bill." He made a big issue out of his, number one, him being Roman Catholic.
Uh-huh.
Number two, he was standing with the Ten Commandments and not the Bill of Rights. Sorry. And now that's not Judge Roy Moore's position.
Right. But it was the Attorney General of Alabama.
Yeah. Well, he didn't stand very long. The same fellow ended up becoming the one who removed Judge Roy Moore from office the second time. And then was given by George Bush. Bush, a federal judgeship in the federal court. I wish I could remember his name. But I'll tell you one other item of note as far as the Lord's dealings with folks. And that is, I did not know it at the time, and I did not know it until later. But the very first year that we gave Judge Roy Moore the Bill of Rights Award for his defense of the right to post the Ten Commandments, and it also is the basis of the Bill of Rights.
Right.
Carolyn and John Kennedy gave her bill. I didn't know she even had one. She gave a Bill of Rights award to the lawyer who prosecuted Judge Roy Moore.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
And,
you know, and the Founding Fathers acknowledged that Ten Commandments were
underpinning.
Yeah, the entire establishment of the nation. Basically, the Bible is the underpinning of the entire establishment of the nation, and the Ten Commandments are an integral part of all that. Again, you know, history that's been revised doesn't mention anything about that.
Right.
So, anyway, but your Bill of Rights banquet is going to be, of course, December 15th.
Tuesday night at Yoder's Restaurant in New Holland, Pennsylvania. We've been there several years out of our 24.
Yeah, we were there a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago at Yoder's.
And we've had various speakers at different banquets. This year we're having a panel discussion, and the topic is going to be how fares liberty and what's to be done. And I've asked four or five different individuals, I haven't heard back from all of them yet, to make a 5 to 7 minute presentation of their assessment of our present situation and their recommendation.
You only give them 5 to 7 minutes.
Well, in view of the time for the banquet.
Yeah, I
you know,
understand. I'm just pulling your leg.
You are absolutely right.
Yeah.
I have told them. I apologize when I give them that, but it will have to be tight.
Limited to that. Yeah.
And then each of them will have a chance to respond to what the other panelists have said,
okay.
And then there will be a chance for folks from the audience.
Okay. Well, that'll be interesting. Anyway, if any of our listeners are interested in attending this, as Karis mentioned, it's at Yoder's Restaurant. That's 14 South Tower Road, New Holland. The cost for the banquet, which I'm looking at the menu, is scrumptious roast turkey with gravy and other scrumptious stuff. But the cost is $27 for adults. Children 3 to 10 are 17, and 2 and under are free.
Yes, price includes the tax and gratuity. So.
Okay, includes everything. And you can mail reservations to Bill of Rights Bicentennial Committee, P.O. Box 912, Concordville, P.A. 19331. Concordville, C-O-N-C-O-R-D-V-I-L-L-E. Zipping is 19331. You need to know by December 10th, right?
Yes, I did speak with the restaurant. If I know by noon on December the 11th, on Friday, they said that would be soon enough.
Okay.
So,
I do encourage folks to consider that because it's going to be a great program and great food. And,
can I give them my phone number if anyone wants to call?
Yeah, that's fine.
Ask
that's fine.
About,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
They can call me at 610-476-3482. 610-476-3482.
Okay.
And if they have any questions. And Charlie Zahm's going to be there once again with his magnificent music.
Okay,
so,
fantastic.
Yes.
And you guys have a Facebook page also, right?
Yes, I need to get to it, but yes,
okay.
We do.
Is it the Bill of Rights Bicentennial Committee? Is that what the Facebook page is?
That is the Facebook page,
okay.
But then there's a link there to the event,
okay.
Which
okay.
is the 2015 Bill of Rights Banquet.
Okay.
They can even, I think, type in 2015 Bill of Rights Banquet into their Facebook search, and it will
come up
there.
Okay,
yeah.
Sounds good. Well, thanks, Karis, for all your work in trying to educate folks about the Bill of Rights and about the need to know what they say, the history behind them, and to recognize that we're losing many of our rights
yes.
at a very fast pace. And I appreciate yours and Eric's work on this.
Diane, thank you for the opportunity to be on your program, and I appreciate your work, which is on an hourly basis per week, far exceeds mine. So God
okay.
be with you.
Hey, God be with you. See you on the 15th.
Yes, look forward
okay.
to it.
Okay, take care.
God okay. bless you.
God bless
Bye.
You, too.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.